Well, we coordinate a wide range of research projects that cater to the needs of a pretty large group of end customers. Could be the Marines. We do a lot of stuff with the Office on Naval Research. We've done a lot of work with the Forest Service to help dial in different feeding strategies for firefighters, heat stress issues, hydration.
So basically, you and your staff look at what stresses on the human body, basically?
Mm-hmm. We provide controlled stresses in a wide range of environments. Could be cold, could be heat, could be altitude, and then look at how the muscle responds, how the overall human responds, how those environments might mandate different kind of feeding strategies so that people can continue to perform in those environments.
Is there a lot about this that we don't know? I mean, are there still mysteries yet to be unlocked?
I think there are a lot of mysteries that are unknown. And a lot of those have to do with getting deeper into the tissue. Like, if you put somebody in a cold environment, how does the muscle respond differently? Might it adapt differently? And does that have implications for maybe how we redefine exercise strategies for different clinical populations? And a lot of the work that's been done with these different environmental stresses, most of it's done on males. So we don't know how females are going to respond in a lot of these different situations. And so some of our future hopes with some of these projects cater towards the concept of women assuming a bigger role in combat. And I've flat out told lots of military folks, it's not fair to simply treat them as smaller dudes. Just because they're maybe of a smaller body type, that doesn't necessarily mean you just down-adjust the food, you down-adjust this or that, or you train them the same way just because they're smaller. It's got to be more specific than that.
The Weather Channel runs a series called Freaks of Nature, and your segment aside just for a second, tell us about the show and how you got connected to it.
From what I know about the show, and I don't know a lot, it focuses on how humans interact with the environment around us. Maybe it's cold, maybe it's heat, maybe it is interacting with unique geographic features like the depths of the ocean. It's just unique stories about unique individuals and how they play in the weather. We got contacted by a film crew from the UK saying, hey, we'd really like to involve you in this production. It's about heat stress. Could you come down to Death Valley? I'm like, well, yeah, I guess I could fly down to Death Valley. No. We want you to drive your old Airstream down there, and we want to do that. And they explained what they wanted to do with Scott Jurek, and they wanted to look at heat stress and what his capabilities were, and were those unique to him, or do other people have the same capabilities?
Let me interrupt just for a second, but hold that thought.
Okay.
Scott Jurek, who is this character?
Scott Jurek is a world-class ultramarathoner, and he's won several of the big ultras around the country, the nastiest of which is the Badwater Ultramarathon, which is 135 miles through Death Valley.
Jeez.
Starts at Death Valley, 282 feet below sea level. It's a beautiful landscape, but it progresses to what's called the Mount Whitney Portal, which is about 8,000 or 9,000 feet, and finishes there.
Jeez.
So it's an ugly long race. Well, when we were down there, it was about 100 to 110, but we were down there in a cooler part of the season. When that race happens in July, I think we've seen it be 120. That first stretch that's about 60 miles or so when it's the hottest is very flat, but it's very aggressive temperatures.
Okay, so you're down there and you were comparing Scott Jurek's stats with the host.
We tested him at different times because we had to cater to the needs of the camera. But Scott, we tested over about a 10-mile segment. He would go out for a mile and back for a mile. So he did an out-and-back 10-mile event where we tried to keep him at a constant pace using a GPS system. And we were measuring some metrics that we've become pretty good at with skin temperature and heart rate. And so we can use those two measures and use some of our algorithms that we've developed to look at his overall heat stress score.
And very briefly, what is heat stress? What happens to the body?
The first signs that a human will feel is a general overwhelming sense of warmth. And that comes from two locations. It comes from the ambient environment pressing down on you. And so the skin temperature, as the biggest organ that we have, senses that and feeds that information to the brain. But as you are metabolically active, the harder you work, the more heat you produce. And so your core, your internal body temperature is on the rise. And you're constantly in a state of trying to release that heat. If the skin temperature is too warm for the core temperature, you have to work against a certain gradient. So the temperature is going to flow from hot to cold, cooler. As the skin and the core temperature get closer and closer and closer, that's very dangerous. We usually do a good job of combating that through our advanced sweat mechanisms or just moving through the air or choosing our clothing wisely.
Drinking cool water?
That helps. It helps on the inside, and it definitely helps. I mean, you have to be attentive to hydration, but people have heat injury all the time, regardless of how much focus they put on hydration strategies. People lump them together like, oh, it's a football team. It's the fall two-a-days. We just got to make sure we give them enough water. And the same message has been prevalent in the military, and the same message has been prevalent in the fire community. It's going to be hot out there, guys. Make sure you drink enough. And yet the message really needs to be, it's going to be hot out there. Make sure you are not stupid and work too hard, regardless of how much you drink. Because it's the work output that really drives the body temperature to those dangerous levels.
So you're out in the desert with Scott Jurek, taking note of all these metrics. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's interesting. In that environment, those ultra runners will wear clothing that is very lightweight. It's designed to keep the radiant heat off of them. So there's not a lot of exposed skin. Because as soon as the skin becomes sunburned, its thermal regulation qualities are diminished. A lot of skin exposure in that hostile environment, you're going to get sunburn in a half an hour. So they keep themselves very covered. So his skin temperature was very stable. At times it started to go down. So the cooler you can keep the skin temperature, the better off you're going to be. That's kind of the magic. Being able to keep the skin temperature down, even when it's very, very hot outside, maintains that appropriate gradient between the core, the skin, and the outside environment.
So you did all these tests out in the desert, and they said, well, we'd like to find out more. And so you brought them back to the good old University of Montana.
Yep. We wanted to bring them back to our lab because our chamber, we can dial in any temperature.
What chamber?
It's an environmental chamber. We can change the temperature. We can change the humidity. We can change the gas concentrations to simulate high altitude or sea level. And so we basically dialed in Death Valley conditions. 95 degrees, very, very low humidity. Initially started him running at a comparable pace at about 95 or 98 degrees. The goal was to let the temperature in the chamber drift upwards towards 135.
Jeez.
But we wanted to have his core temperature monitored just to make sure he wasn't getting close to that sort of safety emergency threshold. Mm-hmm. And so we let the temperature drift up to 135 degrees, which is over what the rating of the chamber is. And so it tripped a breaker, but at first got too hot for their equipment. So they had to pull their cameras out. Scott's sweating profusely. He's definitely starting to feel overwhelmed with heat, which I think surprised him. We finally got to a point where, nope, your core temperature is plenty hot. We don't want to take you any hotter. Because if you get them past a certain threshold, you cross over that point of no return where they're going to start to overheat to the point that they can't compensate.
Ultimately, is he a, as they say, freak of nature, an X-Man?
He has exceptional capabilities in the heat because he has put in so much time in that environment. So he has finely tuned his system to accommodate the stresses that come with those hot temperatures. You really have to leverage your physiological talents by training them. That's the secret. And he goes to Death Valley when he raced there. I mean, he knows. I mean, in order to get those specific adaptations, you got to train that way.
We've been talking about what you've been doing. You're not, but let's say you're advising the football teams tomorrow.
Our Montana boys, I'm sure they're loving that concept because that is hugely in their favor, even though they're not used to competing in those temperatures, but I'm sure it's a very intimidating thing for another team to come into. And I think the biggest thing is to stay warm enough, obviously, on the sidelines. There will be shivering. And in the cases of exposing an individual to cold like that, that increases the overall metabolic cost of the day. And so they're going to need to focus on hydration strategies. They're going to need to focus on getting in supplemental calories to compensate for that above and beyond energy expenditure that just comes with exposing themselves to that cold, cold environment.
Are they loading then today, the past week, or is it a day of the game?
It's probably day of the game. I mean, making good decisions leading up to it is always a good thing, but to have adequate supplementals that are easy to eat, easy to drink, maybe some warmer products would be advisable. But staying warm in between plays, I don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah, right. And for the fans in the stadium, those kooks who are going to be out there tomorrow.
Well, I would say go easy on the alcohol because that's only going to make things worse in the cold.
So a little vodka in the old cocoa, that's not going to help.
Probably not a good idea. Bundling up, making sure you get into someplace warm during halftime, perhaps, but we won't have our chamber fired up and ready, so.
All right. Freaks of Nature on the Weather Channel airs this Sunday at 8, am I right?
Correct.
And you will be featured?
Yep. My team and I, John Cuddy and Walt Hales, and our awesome 1964 retrofitted Airstream will be on that show.
Oh, my girlfriend would tune in just for that. She loves those things. So, been speaking with Brent Ruby, director of the Montana Center for Work Physiology and Exercise Metabolism at the University of Montana's Department of Health and Human Performance. Thanks a lot, and congratulations on the big debut this weekend.
Thanks.